is where we're going to be here this morning. Mark chapter 10, titled the message, Is There More to Life Than Just Living? Is there more to life than just living? You know, when you see a post of someone who has passed away and or read an obituary, oftentimes I wonder what happened in their life between the time by which, you know, they were born and the time in which they died. And so I wonder about that sometimes. And I wonder, you know, did they have an abundance of family and friends to support them along in their journey of life? And so did they go to church? Did they give their heart and life to Christ? You know, I look for that. Well, you know, when I'm looking to see, you know, if something's mentioned about that, I wonder, did they have a joy-filled life, you know, or was it one that was filled with sorrow and heartaches and headaches and so forth? Or, you know, what kind of desires and dreams and those type of things did they have? You know, so you look in at those things, and I wonder that. And so, but I want to ask you, what is it that makes your life worth living? What is it that makes your life worth living? What is it that motivates you to get out of bed in the morning, to get up and to do the same old, day after day? Sometimes, you know, we get into that routine that you know, some might would call a rut. And so what is it that makes your life worth living? Is it the job? I get up and I live because of my job, you know, and that's why I, you know, I get up and I go and I do. Or it's because of the money. I can get up and make more money and those things. And so that's what drives me. And that's what makes my life worth living. Or maybe it's the people in your life, you know, and that's what makes my life worth living. It's those who are around me to help me in this journey called life as well. Maybe it's a hobby, you know, such as hunting or golf. Or golf, and maybe it's, you know, those things, and so that's what makes my life, you know, worth living, or maybe it's education, you know, or just the list goes on, and so only you can fill that spot there as to what makes your life worth living. What makes your wife, what makes your life worth living? Most folks want to live a satisfied life. Most folks want a pleasant type of life, a life lived to the fullest. And so when we get to the end of our life, we want to be able to look back and say, I have done more than just live. I have made a life. I built my house upon the rock, and it's going to stand. And people are, you know, I've made an impact in people's lives. And, you know, it's a life that was worth living. Now, we have no choice about the time in which we are born. For the most part, we don't have the choice of when the life is going to end. But you do have a choice on how that time is spent in between birth and death as to what you do with that life. There's more to life than simply existing day after day until you die. Sadly, there are a lot who are living that way. They're just living, waiting for the clock to stop ticking on their life. There's more to life than that. You ever hear folks say, you need to get a life? And so young people have told me that because I kind of live day after day doing the same old, day after day. And that's just what most of the time, that's what my life consists of. That's not what makes my life worth living, but that's what's involved in my life is just the same old. And so they say, well, you need to get a life. Basically, what they're saying is you need to get a life worth living, to enjoy it more, invest it more. There are three things that will put life into your living. Three things that we find in our passage here. Mark chapter 10. What is there to life besides living? First of all, there's salvation for those who choose Christ. There is salvation for those who choose Christ. Take a look with me. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the ways, talking about Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Jesus told the man, he says, Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now that's not all of the commandments, but those are the ones Jesus relayed to him. Verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. He's pretty proud of himself there. Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He beholded him. He looked at him. He looked deeply at this man because he's Jesus and he knows what's on the inside. And the Bible says, and he loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, because Jesus knew what was lacking in the man's life. He says, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. And so we'll stop right there for right here at this moment. And so what is there to life besides living? Where there is salvation for those who choose Christ as Savior. Here was a man that was wealthy. He was probably the boss or maybe even been the owner of the company. And so he no longer satisfied with his 9-to-5 job. No longer satisfied, you know, with the day in and day out. He knew that there was something that was missing in his life. And he thought for sure there must be something more to life than just living. The way in which I'm living. And so the Bible says in verse 17 that when Jesus come into the way there, the man came running to Jesus. There's an urgency. Probably he's been thinking about this for quite some time, realizing that, and it's just gnawing on him on the inside. There's got to be something else. Something is missing in my life. I've got to know. I've got to grab hold of this. And so he comes running with an urgency to Jesus. He's desperate at this point, and he kneels down before Jesus. And he begins to think about eternity. And he asks Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's an important question, okay? Most of us know that an inheritance, usually when you inherit something, it is when someone dies and then it's left to you. But it's not so much that, but he's wanting to know, what must I do to earn eternal life? Jesus is going to tell him here in this passage that we're going to see here that it's important to know that salvation is not earned. It is a gift of God. He had it right when he asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because eternal life is something that is given. It is not earned. It's an inheritance we have through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is given to us. You don't work for an inheritance. But he's coming wanting to do something so that he can have eternal life. Jesus' answer reveals two things that will never add life to your living. Two things that will never add life to your living. First of all, religion will never add life to your living. Religion will never add life to your living at all. And a religion is an outward practice without an inward change. That's what religion is. Brother Robert spoke of that earlier today in Sunday school. The man that came to Jesus was a religious man, okay? He claimed that since he was a boy, he'd lived according to the Ten Commandments. And so Jesus, knowing the man, knowing what was in his mind, knowing that he felt for sure that because he's lived the Ten Commandments, that he should have eternal life, but he doesn't know. And he doesn't have hold of it yet. And so he says, what must I do? And so Jesus throws at him several commandments. First of all, he claimed that he's never cheated on his wife. Jesus says, do not commit adultery. He says, okay, let me think about this. My wife, I've never cheated on her. I checked that one off. And so, okay, I've got that one. And so Jesus says, do not kill. Let me think about this, you know. And so I don't even own a gun. A rock. I've never killed anyone in my life that I'm aware of. And check that one off. Check that commandment off. So we got two of them down. And then Jesus says, do not steal. And so, okay, let me see. I've never robbed a bank in my life. And so he checks that one off his list. And then Jesus says again, do not bear false witness. He says, you know, I've done my taxes, you know, and I never cheat. I never cheat on my taxes, you see. He'd be the only one, would he not? And so he checked that off his box as well. And so I've not done that. And he says, honor thy father and thy mother, Jesus told him. And he says, I've always respected my parents as far back as I can remember. And so he checks that one off too. And it's very good. You know, that's pretty, living a pretty good, clean life outwardly. But he knows that there's still something missing in my life. Jesus failed to mention that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Jesus failed to, he didn't use the commandment, you know, that thou shalt not covet as well. And so these are the ones, but he heard these ones here and he thought, hey, maybe I qualify, you know, to get in because I've done all of these things. He was looking for eternal life and his religion didn't provide it. He says, it just didn't do anything for me. Eternal life doesn't come through religion. It's only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus said in John 3:15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life comes in Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus into your heart and life, along with him, it's sort of like a wallet. You know, if I gave you my wallet, there would be a dollar or two in there. And you can have that, you see. And so you, if because I gave you the wallet, and whatever's inside belongs to you as well. Don't get, you know, look at me like, oh, go ahead, give it to me. There's not much in it, okay? But you see, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, inside of that is eternal life. But it only comes through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It only comes when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this is what he's trying to tell this man here. Religion will never add life to your living. You know what it will do? It'll burden you down even more so. Because now I've got to work more. I've got to work harder. I've got to work longer. This is what was happening to this man in his life, in his religion. He just needed to do more. Maybe if I do more, I can inherit eternal life. I'll give more. I'll do more. I'll be nicer. You know, I'll do this and do that and on and on. But it never will. It never will add life to your living. Second, riches will never add life to your living. Riches will never add life to your living. The man had plenty of money, but yet he discovered, as everyone does sooner or later, that money cannot buy life. Money cannot buy life. There, somebody wrote this, money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy you health. Money can buy you a house, but it cannot buy you a home. Money can buy a diamond, but it cannot buy love. Money can buy the finer things of life, but it cannot buy eternal life. Jesus puts this man to the test, and he asks him in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, that is understanding him where he's at here in this, knowing what his problem is here, what his issue is here. And he says, and beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. You see, he says, oh, I've respected my parents. I've never killed anyone, not cheated on my wife. I've done all of these things, you see. And he says, one thing thou lackest. Jesus knew exactly what was holding this man back from eternal life. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Give it away. Commit your life to me. You follow after me. You believe in me. Trust me, not your money, not your position, not your religion. You trust me and follow after me. You'll have eternal life. That's the only way there is to eternal life. Jesus asked this man here, make a choice. You need to make a choice. Is it going to be your religion, your money, your position, all of these things that's going to be your life that you want, or me over here on this side? You're looking for eternal life. It's right here in the person of Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary's cross for your sin debt is where you find eternal life. Either he telling the man here, either you'll serve and trust in your money or you'll serve and trust in me, Jesus said. But it is your decision. You need to make a decision. Too many people spend their lives trying to make more money so they can live a better life. Life is not found in possessions, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he not only gives you abundant life, or give you eternal life, but he gives you abundant life, an abundant life to where you cannot buy with Visa. Visa doesn't provide the abundant life. This man came looking to Jesus for something more to life than just living, because that's what he was doing. He was just living. It didn't satisfy. Jesus told him, if you want to add life to your living, you must choose a relationship over your religion and riches. What did he choose? Verse 22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I'm not so sure that he had great possessions or the possessions had hold to him. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much you have. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, is what it is. Without Christ, he went away the same way he came. Now remember now, he came running to Jesus, wanting eternal life. He wanted to inherit. How do I inherit eternal life? It's the most important question, you know, of your entire life and your eternity. Is found right there. And he comes running to Jesus, falls at his feet, and he says, what must I do? Help me to understand the answer. And Jesus told him, quit trusting in your riches. Quit living for the things and the treasures of this world. And follow, trust me and follow after me. And you can have eternal life. But when he found out what he needed to give up, he says, no. It was too much for him to give up his life. I have, in my own life, I've spoken to one of my brothers about eternal life, sharing the gospel with him. We were in a barn after work that day, and so there we were. And we were sitting on 2 5-gallon buckets, and I shared with him the gospel message again. And he says, I just want you to know, that you understand what it is that I'm saying. And so I went through it again, and said, now you're ready to receive Christ as your Savior? And he said, no. He said, I'd have to give up my girlfriend because they were living together. And he chose, no, to continue on living the way that he was, knowing that it wasn't right, knowing that's not life, that's not living, that it, because Jesus can add these things unto you when you got to get your heart right, life with Christ first. Jesus is not saying that you come to me, you got to get rid of all of that and leave everything behind. But to want to is there. And to now walk right and get that relationship right with the Lord, you see, and walk after him. Oh, the abundant life is right there. But he said, no. Here, this man here could have walked away with joy filled that comes from knowing Jesus as Savior as well. He could have found purpose and peace for life, but instead he walked away grieved, sorry filled as well. I don't know, but yet today, the man is still experiencing an eternity in hell, even as we are here today. Salvation. It, for those who choose Christ, okay, what is there to life besides living? Not only salvation to those who choose Christ, but their satisfaction for those who are committed to Christ as well. To those who know Jesus as their Savior, and so, but now they're committed to Him. My life is committed to You. To just get my foot in heaven's door is not enough for me. That's not living. That's not the abundant life, you see. And so Jesus goes on then. The man is walking away. As he's walking away, verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Very difficult for them to let go of that and trust Christ. And it says in verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It says the same thing twice. They weren't getting it. They were just astonished. How is this possible? How is this possible? It was believed back then, if you had riches, that you were right with God, because that was God's blessings upon you. And so they were like, well, this doesn't make sense. We don't understand. And so Jesus told them again. Then he goes on to say the famous quote that we all kind of snicker about sometimes, verse 25. He says, for it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, you see the little sewing needles, you know, and to get a camel to squeeze through there. You ever seen the pictures where the camel's like halfway through and he's stuck now at the hump in the head, and there he is, and he's all, you know, puffed out like that. That's kind of humorous. But Jesus says it's easier for that to happen than it is for a rich man to let go of his own self-made God, which is himself, trusting in what he's done and what he can do in his life, than it is for him to give it up and then to follow after me. Verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, well, it says, who then can be saved? If that man can't be saved, who didn't cheat on his wife, he's never killed anyone, he's never robbed a bank, he's never, you know, cheated on his taxes, and he's always respected his mom and dad, you see? And so, well, then who can be saved? In verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. He said it's a God thing. Salvation is a God thing. And it's all about what God does in a person's life. And Jesus is going to go to the cross here shortly. And then what we find is in verse 28, okay? Take a look. There's satisfaction for those who are committed to Christ. Verse 28, and it says, and Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and we have followed thee. So Peter begins to do some thinking. He says, wait a minute. Forsake all and follow you. Forsake all. He told the rich man to give up all that he had and to follow after me. Wait a minute. I've done that. That's what I did. This is what Peter's sitting there and he's thinking as he's wondering this, and he begins to add two and two and surrender all you have and to submit to whatever Christ asks you to do equals treasures in heaven. And so Peter mentions, he says what seems to be the greatest secret unknown to most of God's people when it comes to living a satisfied life. And that is these, the Christians is to forsake and follow. Forsake and follow. Not just to come to know Jesus, but to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus has to offer. It's a continual in life is forsake what I want and follow where He leads. Forsake what I want to do and follow after what He is asking me to do. He says, you'll experience the abundant life. Oh, but you don't understand. He would never let me go and do this on Sunday because it's church day. Forsake all these things that I want to do and follow after what He wants me to. It's that simple. To enjoy the abundant life. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be what? To be happy in Jesus. You see that? It comes down to that. And this is what Peter's beginning to understand. Christ wants us to experience the abundant life, not just eternal life, but the abundant life that this world, he says, cannot offer you. It's a cheap imitation. But yet we keep getting drawn into it again and again. It is possible to have eternal life and still not experience a satisfied life. Once you come to know Jesus as Savior, you do not put your life on cruise control and sit back and relax and enjoy the ride, so to speak. There are two things that Peter mentions that will add life to your living. What will add life to your living? First of all, a commitment to sacrifice for the Lord. I'm going to commit to sacrifice my life to the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. From here on out, There we go. Verse 28, it says, "Behold, we have left all," he said. "We have forsaken all." In this case, Peter gave up everything. The fishing business, his family, his plans, his dreams, his friends. He sacrificed all for the cause of Christ. Something that the rich man was not willing to do. This doesn't mean that you have to sell everything and live a life in poverty in order to be satisfied. Jesus is not telling us that. But what he is saying is you must be willing to do that if that's what I lead you to do. That's what he's trying to tell us, is to have the desire, that much desire to follow after him if that's where he leads us. It means spending time or spending your life not on self, not on you know, the satisfaction that you want in your own life. You know, so I'm going to invest so that I'll have an easy retirement, so that I'll have this and I'll have that. But no, it's investing your life in what the Lord wants for you in life. That's what it is that we're to follow after. Paul told the Romans, he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that is to continue to sacrifice, forsake the things that you want, the places you want to go, all these other desires over here that you have to do things your own way, and follow after what he wants in your life. He says the abundant life is that simple. And Paul said that is our reasonable service. That's what is expected of those who are committed to serving the Lord. What should you sacrifice? Time. Devotions is probably the most that gets done away with in our lives. Our time in God's Word, our time praying, our time getting into that close relationship with Him. We've gotten to the point to where we don't sacrifice that time alone with Him anymore. And so it just gets tossed aside. We forsake that and follow after what we want. Facebook is much more exciting. Yeah. Church attendance, witnessing for the Lord is the time, you know, to do those things as well. Talent, you sacrifice your talents using those abilities and gifts that God has given you for His glory and not self-gain. But for His glory, He comes first in what He wants. Treasures, using that which God has blessed you with to further the work of the church here and His work that you're involved in as well. There'll be no peace, no joy in your journey, no satisfaction in your soul until you sell out 100% for the Lord Jesus Christ. What else adds life? Well, first of all, a commitment to sacrifice for the Lord. And then secondly here, a commitment not only to sacrifice, but to serve. Peter said here, he said, we've forsaken all, and now we're following you as well. We are serving you. We're doing what you want us to do. We're following after you. Peter's enjoying. By the way, Peter probably didn't have two nickels to rub together. You remember when they had to pay the temple tax, you know, Jesus told Peter, go down and get into the fish and open his mouth. Probably didn't have two coins to rub together. But Peter wasn't running around worried, anxiety filled, gnawing on him about eternal life. Because why? Because he had forsaken all and he was following after Jesus. You see that? He was enjoying the abundant life. You can have the riches that, and everything else that goes right along with it if you don't have Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. You can still be wealthy and have Jesus. But the wealth doesn't have you because you've given your life to Christ. There's a difference there. Okay? And so when Jesus called Peter, the Bible records just two words that he said to Peter. He simply said, follow me. Peter said, okay. On he went. He didn't just say, okay. I'm sure he weighed it out. But it was a commitment that he made. I'm going to follow you wherever. In fact, you remember in the garden, you know, Peter said, I'll go and I'll fight and I'll do and I'll die for you. That's how committed Peter was. That's how he felt in his heart, in his life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. From that moment on, Peter was committed to serving Jesus Christ. Serving Jesus means it adds meaning. It adds purpose to your life as never before. You no longer live for today or tomorrow. It's more about eternity now. It's about serving, you know, the God of the universe, the one who died on the cross for my sin. Your plans and priorities change from the temporal, the earthly, to the eternal now. That's the mindset that we have because I'm committed to following after him. And so we find that your plans and priorities change in life. And you learn that satisfaction in the fact that it's more blessed to give than to receive, because that's what Jesus said. And so following after Christ to the cross for salvation is just the beginning. The Christian that has not committed his entire life to Jesus Christ will not find life to be very satisfying at all. William Booth, he was the founder of the Salvation Army, you know, and he was asked once, what is your secret to the Christian life? And his reply was that I told the Lord he could have all there was of William Booth. He said, I'm totally sold out, committed to him. Jesus asked the rich young man, he said, forsake and follow. He denied and walked away, and he walked away troubled. And Jesus asked Peter, hey, would you forsake and follow? And he went on, Peter went on to live the satisfied life. Only those who are committed to forsaking all and following after Christ will find a life that's worth living. What is there to life besides living? First of all, there's salvation for those who choose Christ. That's where life begins. Is salvation. And then the satisfaction to those who say that I'm going to commit my life to Christ. I'm going to forsake all that I wanted and all the things of this world, and I'm going to follow after Him. And then finally, there's a salary for those who serve Christ. Not for eternal life, but for those who will serve Christ. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily," this is after Peter said, hey, we've left all and have followed thee. And Peter said, well, what's in it for us now? We've left it all and we're following after you. And Jesus said in verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive. See, what he's saying is all those that have left father and mother and brother and sister and lands and all of those things, he said this, he says, he shall receive 100-fold, he said, now in this lifetime, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Notice what he says here. Following the Lord may not always seem like it pays. It didn't seem like it to Job when he was sitting in the ash heap. Didn't seem right to Paul, you see, following after the Lord, you know, that it was a blessing when he was sitting in prison. Probably didn't seem like, you know, following after the Lord was worth it, you know, to Daniel in the lion's den, or the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, and Stephen when he was being stoned to death, and the list goes on and on and on. But they lived the abundant life. Even 1 hour of the abundant life with Jesus Christ is worth more than 90 years of living without Him. In God's time, God's way, it always pays to serve. What he's saying there in verse 31, but many that are first, and those that put themselves first, those who think of themselves first, those who live for themselves first, shall be last. But those, he said, and the last shall be first, those who put themselves last, and me first shall be first. They will enjoy the abundant life. Not just, and what he's saying there in verse 30 as well, but shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters. What he's talking about there, he's talking about if you're willing to forsake everything for me, follow after me. He said, I will provide for you an abundant life here and now. A lot of times we think about this abundant life, you know, we think about the eternal rewards in heaven, but you understand, Jesus rewards us here and now too. He blesses us. We call these blessings. Rewards are in heaven. Blessings are here when we forsake and we follow after Him. This is what He's trying to tell us here in that verse. And so most of us know the quote, you know, you reap what you sow. You know, we usually quote that when somebody's done something wrong and say, well, I told you so. Now you're just reaping what you've sown. And we usually think of it in a bad term. But with God, it factors into the following and the serving that you do with Him as well. You also reap what you sow. You follow after Him, you serve Him, you give Him your life, and He will bless you now. You will reap the blessings of that life that you're living for Him. He will reward in that light as well. Everyone who gives their all to Christ gets all Christ has to give to them. Think about that. Everyone who gives their all to Christ, and I'm not talking about just in heaven when you stand before Him. I'm talking about right here, right now. Everyone who gives their all to Christ gets all Christ has to give to them. We have to be confident that Jesus will do what He says He's going to do. Reward those who are faithful to the end. When do you receive those rewards? Well, let's take a look. First of all, there are rewards to be gained on earth. There are rewards to be gained on earth. Peace. How about this? Peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. You see, you can't find that peace in this world. And He says, I'm going to give you a peace that this world doesn't understand. He said, I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, that's an antidepressant that the world doesn't have to give. It's a calm, quiet peace that only Jesus can give if you forsake and follow after Him. That's what you can experience. Hope as well. Can we get somebody to help her in back there? There you go. Hope as well. Acts 2 verse 26 says this, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Hope is what comes when you forsake and you follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Suicide prevention. Hope. Without hope, all of life is meaningless and you just throw it away because there's nothing worth living for anymore. But it's Jesus Christ. When you forsake and follow after Him, there's the hope I have for living in this world yet. Hope is something that Jesus provides. Love. Everyone's looking for love. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ with which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Forsaking all that you want to do, all that the world would have you to do, and all the garbage and the mess that comes with it, you set it all aside, and I'm going to follow after what He wants, and then comes love. Peace, hope, joy that this world cannot offer. That's what makes for a life worth living in this lifetime. But then there are the rewards to be received in eternity when you serve Christ as well. Jesus wants us to know that life is worth the living, is one that is used for time and eternity. When we use our life for time and eternity, that's a life that's worth living. There's not one thing that a Christian does for the cause of Christ that will go unnoticed. Not one thing when they stand before the Lord to give an account of the life in which they lived. Those who have lived their lives in this lifetime for Christ will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Crowns will be given for certain things as well. And you know, you say, well, that's okay. I'm okay to live eternity without a crown. I'm okay with that. But you understand what will happen with those crowns is the fact that they'll take it off and they'll lay it before Jesus' feet. What a joy that would be to have that opportunity to lay that at His feet to honor Him. More than just getting one. It's about giving it over to Him. Time is short, and we need to be living every day for Christ. Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." That work is up to you, whether you're going to forsake and follow after Him or not. Won't be long. Jesus is coming again. And when He does, He will bring His reward with Him as well for the life in which you've lived. Amazing how we live in such an information-filled society today, an age, and yet many still don't know where to find the eternal life, the abundant life. They still don't have a clue, something just like the rich man, because he was looking in all the wrong places. But you understand, you know, the tragedy of this is that the man, he came at the right time. He came when he was young. He came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He asked the right question. It was about eternal life. He got the right answer, forsake and to follow after. But he made the wrong choice. He came this close, so close to eternal life, yet he turned and walked away because he didn't want to give up his religion. He didn't want to give up his riches. So I ask you today, what are you not willing to give up for Jesus Christ so that he could be your Savior? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, there is nothing that this world has. All the riches and gold and all of this stuff, you can pile it high. And you put Jesus over here all by himself, I would hope that you would choose Jesus. That rich man had all of that over there, and he still went away sorrowful because he had great riches. But he didn't have Jesus. And so he suffered sorrowfully. Don't leave here today like the rich man, sorrowful, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit your sinfulness. Believe Jesus died on the cross for you. And then call out to Him for the forgiveness of sin. If you trusted Jesus as Savior, you know the sweet taste of salvation. The burden's been lifted at Calvary. But are you enjoying the abundant life? What is it that you're hanging on to? You know, what is it that your life has not committed to Christ about? Because you're still hanging on to some of these things over here. You won't forsake them and let go and trust what Jesus has to offer you if you follow after Him. If that's you here today, realize life is worth more than just living. It's a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ that'll add life to your living. The abundant life is only found if you forsake that which is holding you back, that's keeping you from sacrificing for Him, keep you from serving Him. Why not say yes today? Lord, I'm going to forsake all of that. I'm going to follow after You. I'm going to make that commitment right here, right now, today, as never before. I'm going to give You all there is of me. Do with it what You will. Stand with me as we're ready for a hymn of invitation. God speaking to your heart.